Glory be to God. We are acquainted with agricultural seed. You know that is what you plant that you harvest, right? You don't plant mangoes and expect to get oranges. It's what you plant that you will harvest. Amen. So it is in the kingdom of God. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, the same shall he also reap." Hallelujah. And in the book of Ephesians, it also says to us, Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 8, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." Glory be to God. So whatever any man is sowing in this life, that's what they're going to reap. Glory be to God. So if you sow wickedness, you reap wickedness. If you sow kindness toward others, you will reap kindness. If you sow goodness, you will reap goodness. Hallelujah. That is the law that God set forth in the earth. That's what God said will rule upon the earth. God made man to dwell upon all the earth. Hallelujah. And so he made rules for governing the universe. That way, it will depend on you what you want to reap. If you want to reap evil, then you keep sowing evil, and you're going to reap evil someday. Maybe not immediately, but it will come by and by. Just like those who do good things also have integrity and have character, initially might not show, but after a while, you begin to reap it. At that time, it becomes impossible to stop. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. So while we were on it, we were looking at the parable of the sower. And in that parable, Jesus said that the seed is the word of God. The seed in that parable is the word of God. Hallelujah. And we also have been looking, that is, you find that in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So if the word of God is this seed, the ultimate seed, it means that if you plant it, it will produce. If you plant or sow the word of God, the word will produce. Hallelujah. If you plant it anywhere, it will produce. Whatever you send the word of God into ought to produce what the word of God says, what that word says. Hallelujah. God said in his word, can we go to Isaiah 55, verse 9? He said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, at this time, nobody was born again upon the earth. And so he was talking to men who were unregenerated. Hallelujah. So they were men of the senses. And so God was talking to them about how he operates. Verse 10, he said, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." So it is very clear that the word of God, once it goes forth, produces what it talks about. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because the word of God is God. The Bible says something about earthly kings. It says, where the word of a king is, there is power, there is authority. You know, if you look at monarchies around the world, in the early days, when a king says, "I want that man's head off his shoulders," he doesn't have to say it twice before they go and take off the man's head. His word has power, has authority. Now, God is the king of the universe. What he says is law. What he says has power. Wherever he puts it, it has power. But the word itself has the DNA of God. When it goes out, it is spirit. It has power. It has authority. It can do whatever God says that it should do. Amen? In John chapter 1, verse 1. Can we go over to John chapter 1, verse 1? It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we say that God's Word is God. Hallelujah. So where the Word of God is present, the God is present. Hallelujah. It said, the same was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that was made by the spoken word of God. Hallelujah. When God says something, it becomes. It says, in him was life. In who was life? The word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to be a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Through the witness of John the Baptist, that all men might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What that is that he enlightens every man that comes into the world. He illuminates our thinking. He brings us to proper understanding about God. It is the knowledge of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, that is eternal life. When men do not know that God exists, they don't have eternal life. And they're subject to the devil because he can do whatever he likes with man in the absence of God. But there is no absence of God. Hallelujah. God has never left man without the knowledge of the fact that he is there and that he loves us. I like to say that because I've said a lot of things. I want to say this. God loves you, hallelujah, but loves us enough not to leave us the way that we are. He changes us into who he is, that we may end up in heaven with him. Hallelujah. That we may end up in his kingdom and not in the kingdom of darkness. Glory be to God. He says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, talking about Jesus, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, talking about Israel. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This word power here is the Greek word exousia, and it means authority. He gave them the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So, grace and truth is what we're preaching. Grace and truth is what we're preaching. Glory be to God. The law was what Moses preached. We're preaching grace and truth. Hallelujah. Now, we've talked about the Word and the living Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. There is the written word of God, which is the logos of God. Hallelujah. And there is the spoken word of God, which is the rhema of God. That is God's inspired utterance, or God's word inspired for a particular person or place or thing, spoken by a living person. Amen. God's revealed word. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the rhema of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. When we read the logos of God and the written word of God, and we understand it, and we use it rightly, where there is a situation and that word comes out living, activated by the Spirit of God, that's God's rhema. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, I want you to bear all of that in mind. Hallelujah. The word of God has the nature of God. The word of God has the life of God. The word of God is God. Where the word of God is present, God is present. And the word of God has the power to produce what it talks about. The Bible says concerning the gospel. All right, let's read it in Romans. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." It is what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It doesn't say that the gospel contains the power of God. It says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And this word power here is not authority to say it. It is actually the power to say it. The dunamis to say it. The empowerment to be saved. That is what the gospel is. The gospel is the empowerment to be saved. So when you receive the gospel, you are empowered to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Salvation comes to you through the gospel. It says the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, that believeth. Can we look at the New King James here? He says, it's the power of God to everyone that believes. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from one degree of faith to the other. He says, revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Now, we don't usually read the next verse, but I will read it. The reason is because we're in the last of the last days. The last days began when Jesus came and died, rose again, and the church was born. That was beginning of the last days. Hallelujah. So over 2,000 years ago that Jesus died and rose again was the beginning of the last days. You can imagine where we are in the last days right now. If we're in the last of the last days. So we're in the last of days, the end of time. Hallelujah. So he says, in the same gospel, he says, the wrath of God, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Now remember that in Christ, God becomes your righteousness. You are nice righteousness. He who knew no sin, God made to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So we have been made the righteousness of God. If you're giving your life to Jesus Christ, righteousness has been given to you as a free gift. It is yours. You have a garment in the realm of the Spirit. You have a garment of righteousness. Now, if you do things or conduct yourself wrongly for any reason, you need to go to God, repent, ask Him to forgive you, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse you of all that unrighteousness, and you'll become righteous again. Hallelujah. If you backslid, when you return, God cleanses you of the old thing and gives you the nature, gives you back a clean garment. Hallelujah. So at no time is a believer allowed or is it necessary for a believer to wear a stained garment. It's not necessary. Praise the Lord. Don't go to bed with sin. Ask God to forgive you. If you're living wrongly, correct yourself, judge it, and live rightly. Now, the word of God is spirit and it is life. The word of God is what? Spirit is a spiritual force and has the life of God in it. It has eternal life in it. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible tells us, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. This word quick here means living, and powerful. Iskos. It has, is word from where we get the word energy from. It's energetic. It energizes whatever it gets into. If you put the word of God in your body, that word will energize your body. The word has power. It has life in it. It has power. It is quick. It is living. It has life. And it is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And of the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and of the intents of the heart. Amen. Now, the word of God is spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you or say unto you, they are spirit and they are what? Life. Hallelujah. So the word of God gives life to every situation it touches. The Bible tells us in the beginning that the earth was without form and void. God made the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And he came and said, let there be light. He said, light be. And the Bible says that light came on the scene. And then he began to create with what? Words. Number three, we've done number one, that the word of God has the nature of God. Number two is that the word of God is spirit and life. Hallelujah. It's powerful. It's energetic. It is quick. It's living. It possesses the function of life. It subsists. It has life and vigor to it. And the word of God is energetic and able or capable of doing something. When you send the word, it will do something. The word of God is living and powerful. That was why Jesus said something. He demonstrated that when he was talking to the fig tree. He said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. The minute he said that, the tree died. Why? The word of God entered into the tree. Hallelujah. This is the reason why your words are important. Your words can stand. You see, we in our words have to agree with God always. Because we are part of God. We're part of Him. The Bible says, by faith, we drank into the same spirit with God. We're a part of the body of Christ. We're a part of God's dwelling place in the spirit. All of us are members one of another. If you're a believer, we are members one of another. The word of God is living. God is alive. Hallelujah. And is energetic. Is able to do what he talks about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the word of God is eternal. It is settled in heaven. It doesn't change. God is not a shifting shadow. The Bible says that God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. Neither shadow of turning. God does not play pranks. He's not in that line of business. If he says something, it stands. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It is fixed, it's established. When it says settled there, it is fixed and established. It does not change. Psalm 89, verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So when God says something, he doesn't change it. So when God says, you are the head and not the tail, he doesn't change it. It's important for you to know that.